Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, welcome back everyone to Simpin' After Dark. It's your girl, Ashley Mendoza, back for another episode of music, lyrics, mischief, toxic, lovey-dovey shit. I have a special guest today, a recurring guest.
It's the ever elusive Young Student Loans.
Welcome back. Hey. So excited to have you. For the fourth time, we figured out you've been on every season since season 3.
How does that make you feel?
Good. I love it. It's like we're creating a universe. Which we'll talk about universe. You dropped an album recently.
Yeah.
What is it called? The full name of it? Long.
King of the Low Key on Emo Space Odyssey.
And then on Spotify, it also says Story Mode. Is that just like, what is that? Was that like an add-on?
We can talk about that later, but yeah, it's story mode, but there's like a reason.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, it definitely feels like a story. I was listening to it front to back a few times last night. There are 8 songs on this version and they all connect and they're interwoven with like a voicemail type of message. And yeah, it's all really interesting. So we're going to get into all of that. That'll be our songs for today. I have clips of 4 of the songs. And also I have some tweets and some other fun stuff that we're gonna get into. So make sure to stick around. First song on the album is called Bad Guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like your intro.
Bad guy. Only useful when I'm useful.
Yeah, so I love it. It's like the intro and just kind of like a warning. So like maybe let's give a little backstory to the listener if they have not listened, but also make sure to go listen to the full album.
About the album or about the song?
Yeah, just like kind of maybe themes or inspo, whether this is based on true events or not. Is this all alleged? The storyline.
Always alleged. I'm a legend, so...
keep it alleged, keep it safe.
I would like to say like most Young Student Loan songs are a little bit of truth, a little bit of fiction, and all about suspense. But yeah, so like many of my albums before, there usually is a general narrative or story for each one or a theme or whatnot. And for this particular one, I kind of wanted to make one that was like very focused and like very like one setting and engaging. Like a soundtrack, like a movie, like an anime movie type soundtrack and kind of guiding you.
Yeah, it definitely feels like that. I feel like I could like picture if it was like a mini series or something.
Yeah.
Like on Netflix. Like you could just like picture it. There's like different characters, a storyline. I was asking you before if this is all like one storyline. Like how many characters are we talking here?
Technically, storyline wise, there's at least 3 storylines going on throughout the whole album. And I guess character-wise, if we include you and Black Galifianakis, me, and other people, so like, technically I would say 7. There's like 7 people involved.
Yeah, like you said, me and Black Galifianakis, who has also been on the podcast. Shout out to Sean. Shout out to that man. So it's kind of like the interlude, kind of like the middle. And it's like the Young Student Loans Love Connection. I remember you hit me up and asked me if I was down to do like this little like skit thing. You sent me the lines, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's like Black Galifianakis. He does his thing. He's like radio host type guy. Then it's me. I call in just like with attitude. It's funny.
Yeah.
I have a clip of it for later. But yeah, that serves kind of as like a little interlude. It feels very like dreamlike.
Yeah.
So that was really cool.
I was definitely like thinking like very like 90s call in type.
Yeah.
Like vibes at like Quiet Storm Radio, like call on in.
Yeah. Like for like love advice.
Love advice.
Yeah. I love it. Feels very like Simpin' After Darky too. So yeah. I love that it was like a universe of like both of you that have been on the podcast more than once. So it was cool. Homies.
Yeah. Shout out to Black Galifianakis again. Great guy.
Love him.
Great musician. Full of spirit. Could fill a room.
Yes. Also has music. So go check him out on Spotify and whatever. He talked about his song last time he was on here. What else?
And fatherless women.
Fatherless men. Fatherless behavior is for anyone. Let's just keep it at that. I don't like that that gets only used against women, okay? Because we know lots of fatherless behavior applies to men.
You're not wrong.
Out here.
You're not wrong.
All this trauma and shit affects everybody.
Trauma, trauma, trauma.
Not gender specific.
Trauma, trauma,
trauma. Yeah. So back to this. So it's like a few different storylines. Would you say it's in chronological order?
Oh, yeah, by far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels very chronological ordery, except for like the voicemail, which we also were kind of talking about before we started recording, that kind of changes a little bit and it's like woven throughout.
Yeah. It's like kind of like the.
Is that a real voicemail, by the way?
For all intents and
allegedly.
For all intents and purposes, it's not a real voicemail. So all the people who felt uncomfortable listening to it, I would not just use someone's. Very personal.
Yeah. You can always re-record to avoid getting sued like Drake. Apparently he got sued for Marvin's Room.
I mean, he definitely would do that. That wasn't the energy I was trying to convey. But the person who's a dear friend who recorded it, killed it and understood the mood and energy.
Yeah, she was really good. I love her voice and just it felt very real and raw.
I'm a stickler for people like very unique, distinct like voices. And like, if I hear something, like I can talk to them forever. I'm just like, you have a fantastic voice.
Yeah, her voice was really nice. I was like, oh, I like it.
Cause like for me, like I hate my voice. So when I hear a voice, like,
me too. I'm
like,
oh, well, I don't hate your voice, but I hate imagine.
Well.
Yeah, I was like literally listening to her voice, and I was like, I could never do this and sound so like sultry and feminine and like sexy. She just has a really nice voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She just naturally sounds like that.
That was a good pick. Did you know her already or did you like kind of like cast and like find someone anywhere?
Yeah, I knew her. I knew her because kind of like when I kind of decided what I wanted the final direction for the album to be, I knew I wanted people involved that I have a relationship with to some extent. Like, well, there's music, friendship, everything else, podcasting, all those things. It's like it kind of culminated into like, pulling everything like together, like the whole cinematic. So like I had already known her, and then like I said, we ended up talking like a lot, and I was just like, I remember like when I first thought about it, I told her I was like, hey, I have this idea, would you be comfortable like doing it? And she was like, huh? Why? And I was just like, I just think you have the perfect voice to do this.
Perfect.
Thing.
Yeah.
And like I said, originally I was going to release the album like way sooner. So then once I finally finished everything, finished not the script, but the idea, I was just like, hey, this is why I'm thinking. Actually, I don't even think I gave like exact words. I think I just said, what would you say if you were in this scenario and you're in a situation where you are with someone and doing whatever and they propose, and then you're fighting this whole thing about what decision do you make, and you have to tell the person that you've been involved with all these things.
Yeah. And so it's a very messy situation.
Yeah.
Maybe backstory. I don't know if it matters. You're poly. We have to say it because it's like multiple like people involved. So like, I guess we haven't really stated like the voicemail. What you immediately find out is like a girl is calling you to be like, hey,
calling young student loans,
calling young student loans, a character allegedly, like, hey, he proposed. I want to talk to you about it type thing. So you immediately are like, oh, like some shit is going on here.
Yeah. Just like,
this is a messy.
Yeah. And like, I don't know, like a lot of going through the album, a lot of the gut, I think like a lot of people deal with it off their gut reaction. And I think that's kind of how like I paced out the album. Cause your gut reaction to be like, first of all, why does this involve me? That sounds like something you should take up with the person who proposed.
Yeah. It immediately like draws you in. Like you want to know like, wait, what? And then it like kind of sets it up from the beginning. That's like what it, like you did a good job like showing that where it's like a bad guy, where it's like you're kind of like you're like explaining to somebody or just to the listener, whatever, like you don't want to like get involved with me, like,
yeah,
kind of like this is not going to end well vibes.
Yeah.
And then like Line Hotel, is that the second one, is that what it's called?
Line Hotel.
Yeah, where that one,
shout out to the Line Hotel.
Is that like a real place?
Yeah.
Oh, she is getting real.
It's Line Hotel is, there are a lot of places, but there is one in Los Angeles.
Oh, is it like not a regular hotel? Why do you look so mischievous?
Oh, no, it's it's like one of those like minimalist kind of upscale like hotel where they're used to like certain clientele. Mm-hmm. So they just never question anything. But like instead of being like stuck in a random middle like Beverly Hills or West Hollywood. It's in K-Town.
Oh.
But, like, yeah, they just have all types of people stay.
So there. It's nice.
Oh, yeah, it's nice. And they'll leave you a nice letter if you're, like, a reoccurring person. Like, hey.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for staying.
Is Young Student Loans the character, a reoccurring?
In the story.
Guest in this alleged story?
In this in
hypothetical?
The story.
This is all a story.
All story.
It's like a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a good way to picture it, mm-hmm. I feel like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So also that song feels very like foreshadowy because it's like just not going to end well.
Yeah, that's the energy type of thing. But like the whole navigation from like bad guy to like Line Hotel is like this idea of like in this setup. Let's hypothetically hear you're the other person in the song, mm-hmm. and you have a situation and I'm behaving on the outside of that. Whatever, we're doing whatever, but you have a situation in which you're just like, don't worry about that. So if like emotions get like attached, then like and you're like upset about that, like I guess I'm the bad guy here, but however you're in the situation that you should be like kind of like navigating that whole thing in.
Yeah.
And like the whole point is like the character's like navigating this whole energy of like, yo, are there actually emotions here? And like at first you're just being deflective because you're just like none of this really matters. Then you kind of like at the end of the day start realizing, do I actually have feelings? And because you always think like that situation would always show back up. So when they say something like, oh yeah, so he proposed to me, and you're just like, oh well, where does that place me? But then the first thing they mention is like, I was worried about how you would respond. Because the thing is, like, they should be worried about how the person who proposed to them responded, not worried about what.
Yeah. So in this alleged situation, in this story, is, like, the girl's guy that proposed aware of, like, her messing around with the young student loans character?
I think, for the most part, young student loans doesn't know.
To his knowledge, he's just like, I don't want to know. I don't ask no questions.
Young student loans doesn't ask no questions. So
don't
he doesn't
ask,
know
don't tell.
That's like, yeah, because that's the whole thing of like being like a side piece, a professional side piece. You don't ask no questions. You come do your job.
Do you feel like if you did know, would you be like less likely to want to be involved, like as far as like your moral compass, or do you just like not care?
I think probably mostly not be involved, but I think that's why people
don't ask.
Don't ask.
Yeah.
Just don't tell.
That makes sense.
Because I think everyone has a plan, and today, in the words of Mike Tyson, everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face. So until you actually have to deal with something, you're just like, oh yeah, I can deal with this. And then
yeah.
Yeah. So nice. It happens.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, I was like asking me the whole time. I was like asking myself, like, I wonder if her guy knows her situation. And then like also like when she's calming young student loans up about like, oh, I want to see how you feel. Like, I feel like she's maybe projecting, like she wants him to care, but like, does he care? I don't know.
And I mean, I think that's what kind of like the journey of the album is, because it kind of transitions from being like very like
nonchalant
and then kind of caring more, because the thing is that you never thought about questioning this thing before because you understood the situation.
Like maybe playing it off at first.
Yeah. And that's like when you like even going to like Line Hotel is like, oh, we're meeting up to rendezvous secretly at like this hotel to hook up or do whatever, yada, yada, yada. And to us, it's just like this intimate thing, but then can have like dire consequences, which is why like leads into Summer Fever, where it's, I think starts being a realization like, oh, there might be feelings there.
Yeah, it starts to feel like more like bright and like summer vibes, of course. And like summer flings are always just like their own special thing. I feel like all the feelings are elevated and just everyone's in a happier mood.
You
so it just automatically.
You read a summer fling?
No.
Never?
I mean, we've talked about it. I'm a fucking serial monogamist. Like, I don't do flings. I've had like, music festival flings, like, for the day. But that's pretty much it. Yeah, I mean, maybe when I was younger, I would have, like a hookup buddy, like, but never, like, a summer fling specifically. It was just, like, yeah. I mean, it sounds fun.
I mean, I feel like Summer Fever is, like, where you, like, because you can, like, be out, great vibes, the sun, anything, even if it's like problematic, you feel like everything's a possibility. Like,
yeah.
Like even if you meet someone, it's just like, this person's crazy. I'm not crazy, but I'm infatuated. Maybe we can make something work out.
Yeah.
And then like over the summer, it becomes like, oh, I can do all this. And then once like summer ends, it's like, oh, this is chaos. This isn't gonna work out. Sometimes like, depending on what side you're on, you gotta like tell someone like, I don't think this is how you really feel. I think this is just the moment.
Yeah, like let's just take it for what it is, you know, day by day, just moment by moment, without placing expectations on it.
So even like from young student loans perspective is like, yeah, like you're saying all this, are you sure about this? You sure this is not just the moment?
Because you're
having fun, something new, something exciting.
Yeah, coming to crush her dreams. I'm just kidding. All right, let's play a clip of Summer Fever.
Proposed to me, and I really just want to see you and talk about it.
Look it better when you're fake, because at least your lies sound real, and I hate it. kiss. Because damn, I could taste them still. Cause when you ask my help, just to see how it felt. If your insides will melt, and that's when we kiss, right? You said it's too hard to tell. You'd rather know in detail. Rather find it yourself.
Okay, a bop. Summer Fever. So that's where, like, I feel like shit starts to, like, pop off and, like, the drama is, like, about to ensue.
Yeah.
And, like, okay, so when you say you ask me for help, is that, like, you feel like maybe she's in a boring relationship?
I mean, I think that's what...
Is that the vibe?
I think that's, like, the thing that unfortunately happens with, like, cycles of relationships, especially if, like, there's, like, intensity where someone's going through stuff. Like, it's sometimes, like... Supporting your partner can be draining. And you can, and sometimes it becomes very easy to think about all the negatives if you're drained versus all the positives you get. So when someone shows up and it seems like they're only giving the positives, it becomes very easy to be like, oh, well.
Yeah, like, let me go over here. Yeah. This is fun and easy. How, like, my relationship used to be.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right about, like, it's cycles because it's, like, eventually, that's just, you're going to get to the cycle where, like, this new fun thing is also going to, like, the wheel turns and you're at the bottom now.
Yeah. And sometimes it's, like, I don't know. I feel like some people can make it through. Some people can't. And that's why, like, it's Summer Fever. So, like, yeah, you ask for my help just to see how it felt if your insides would melt. Because you're just trying to feel something. And, like, and I, at the time, seem like the person to make you feel something. But, like, is this, like, a haphazard thing? Have you actually thought about all the other stuff that you're losing, maybe leaving? And because the thing is, like, if you were to leave the person that is trying to be with you, can I actually replace that? And if that's what you're trying to, you know?
Yeah, like, have you really thought this out? Because your plan seems like it's not fully fleshed out and you're jumping, like, ahead of things here.
That's why it's a Summer Fever, man. You ain't thinking.
Yeah, so it's definitely, I think, relatable for people that are, like, in that zone where they don't really want anything serious more than, like, anything that I usually talk about. Like, it's definitely not my lane of, like, things, but that's why you're here, because this is your lane. This is
my, don't make me out here to be, look like the villain.
You're the bad guy.
Apparently I'm the bad guy. Seems like I'm just enabling people.
I mean, and, like, I guess, like, it's also, like, if things were communicated, like, are you really the bad guy?
That's the question.
The age-old question. But, like, can you cry if things were laid out to you? I think yes, you can, but it's not their fault.
Well, I mean, that's also, like, I mean, but that's also, like, the split, right? So if you laid everything out and you're trying to be, like, real hard about it, but then you get feelings and you're just like, oh, now, like, I care about this.
Which I feel like is bound to happen.
And then they're just like, well, I'm going to choose this thing. Thanks for your work and your support and effort. I'm going to take exit B now.
You're, like, bow out before you catch feelings too much?
Oh, no, I'm talking about them bowing
out. Oh, them?
Because now you're just like.
What about you, though?
Oh, no.
Like, are you good at, like, separating that?
Usually. Yeah. Usually I prefer that or whatever. I don't know.
You feel like you could control it? Or you just, like, push it down?
I think notoriously I view myself as a get you there guy, where, like, I'm very good at support. I'm very good at, like, if you want advice on something, being there, being physically there, all those things. But, like, I always think of myself as, like, I'm not sure if I can show you the door. Not sure if I can go there with you. But I'm also fine if you meet someone else because you have grown or, like, find what you want and meet someone who can be there with you and be evenly yoked as
the product. So you're, like, not toxic about it. Because, like, there's guys that are, like, they don't want to, like, commit or, like, be serious.
Yeah.
But then they also don't want you to move on or find anybody else.
Yeah.
And, like, that's when it gets toxic, I feel like.
I mean, I think that's where the conflict comes. Because, like, if I identify as being a side piece, can I really ask for more? Or is that just a consequence of playing the game the way I played it?
Yeah. True.
So, and I think a lot of the story of this is kind of like the idea of, like, I chose the rules, I played the game, I knew the consequences.
You made your bed.
I made my bed. So if I get emotionally involved, and then I get left with the sticky end of the lollipop, then I got to choose that, you know?
Mm-hmm. True.
Because something's got to give. I guess it is what it is.
So the next song, what song is that? Which one?
Oh, that was Summer Fever.
Oh, that was Summer Fever. Okay.
So you cheated for me? You don't believe that yourself.
You don't believe? Yeah, so that's like the, like, come on.
Yeah. Because, like, people,
who,
like,
are you trying to convince here?
Yo, people do that all the time. Like, trying to convince you to, like, what their bullshit is. Like, they'll say it out loud. Like, yeah. Yeah, Ash, you don't think I'm a toxic person, right? And you're just looking like, do you know you?
Yeah. I feel like we all do that just to kind of get by sometimes. Sometimes you have to just tell yourself these lies and maybe believe them.
Yeah.
It's a little toxic, but I don't know. I feel like sometimes it can help, but I don't know. You just have to be, like, realistic and honest with yourself about, like, what are your intentions and what is the outcome? Because if you're just, like, lying to yourself but still going on with what you're doing.
Have you ever did that?
Probably. Yeah, I feel like everyone does that. Mm. No? Mm. You haven't?
Mm. I absolutely have.
This guy. All right. Next song. If love is true, then tell me yourself. So this is a love connection song we were talking about. I have a little clip. It's a little bit longer because I was trying to get, like, all our parts in here.
Oh, you got all of them, man?
I got, like, a minute and a half. I'll just play a clip of that so everyone can hear.
Yo, it's your boy Black Elf Nagus, and you are checked into the YSL Love Connection. And keeping up the help, you know, I'm just trying to help the brody out. So, if you have beat the saga so far, you might think my nigga might be low key. But it is what it is, am I right? Anyway, any good looking ladies out there want to call up, I got a direct connect to my boy. And maybe you'll be lucky enough to experience my brick with a black line. You know what they say, in space, it gets crazy. But if you hold your breath, blink twice, and count to 10, ecstasy is bound to take over. Oh, shit. The lines are actually blowing up. All right. Keep the calls coming. Let's see if we can actually make some things come true. All right, so we're going to hit up line four. You're on now live, so tell me. What do you guys say to my boy Wise?
Messy. How are you gonna have a love line while you're poly and now you're falling in love with someone's future wife? The nerve! And you say monogs are bad? Like, what are you looking for?
Look for adventure.
A bop, best song on the album featuring me.
Big bop. Big ass track.
I love it. It's really good though. And Black Elf Nakis killed it, his part. Very natural. True artiste.
I literally thought about, just because from all the times being on here, I was like, man, if I was to talk to Ash, and I'd be like, realistic, I was like, oh yeah, because being poly and like getting involved with someone and be like, oh, this sounds messy.
That's exactly what I would say. If you told me all this, I'd be like, excuse me?
Saying this poly thing's working out. Sounds a little messier than the monogs.
The monogs. I don't know. Y'all polys. I'm just kidding. But definitely messy. And yeah, this is a really good just like segue. Because this just feels also kind of where like maybe young student loans is maybe considering the situation changing,
yeah,
like the alternatives,
yeah,
where he's like asking her like, if love is true, then tell me yourself, like if you are for real, then like convince me, like if you're actually convinced, and then like maybe, but like knowing it's probably bad
when you get emotionally attached to people, even if you think they're just speaking temporarily, you'll like suspend belief that maybe they'll do the right thing or do what you want them to do. But you're still, like, hesitant. It's like, yeah. I don't know. It feels like having a friend or even a family member who maybe have like, I don't know, like a bad habit, and they're just like, I'm not going to do this thing ever again. And because you care enough about them, you'll try to suspend belief that they won't do it anymore.
Yeah.
But then,
like, hope.
It's hope. Yeah. But you're still, but you have to, like, 80-20, you still have to set the 20% that if they let you down, that you make the plan. It's just hard to be 100%.
Yeah. Just so you're, like, not fully crushed when things don't go the way that you're hoping they'll go.
Yeah.
Pretty much. So that's, like, the segue. How do you feel like it changes from the beginning to, like, the last half of the album and what we're about to get into, like, from here?
So I would say, yeah, this is kind of where, like, the intertwining, like, stories start happening. Because it's, like I said, off the camera, there's technically another song that I took off the album that kind of connects all of these, because this album's really, like, in two parts. And one kind of, like, reveals, like, more things about this relationship and the split and everything else, yada, yada. Because the whole narrative is, like, imagining, you know, Young Teen Loans being poly, this other person going through their whole separate situation, and then also just making, like, making a decision, like, one, like, does this person actually want me here? Also, do I have enough emotional capacity to still navigate this whole poly space? If this,
because at this point, does the YSL character have other partners also?
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's like a cap of like how many partners you like to, or YSL likes to have? Allegedly.
I feel like everyone has their emotional capacity, and I think everyone has to be honest with what that is. And just because, like, when dealing, the one thing I say about poly and dealing with multiple people, there's a lot of emotions that go into it, and you have to be aware of, like, how you play into that a lot of times.
Do you feel like it's, like, if you're somebody that is easily overwhelmed, like, with too much on your plate in general, you wouldn't be good at it? Do you feel like it's the same type of, like, mental,
I think, labor? I think if, yeah, I definitely think of, like, you're, like, the focal point of, like, multiple relationships. You just, I don't think you can hack it just of what people may need of you. But if you're just like, I don't know, like a tangent connected to another person.
Like solo poly?
Yeah, like a lot of solo poly people who may have stronger connections with one person, maybe that might work for you. Because you don't have like accountability or maybe presence. You have to be there all of the time. But like if like a lot of people are like relying on you, then that becomes like very different. But you have to be like cognizant of that.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Man, oh man.
Sure, it takes practice.
Love it.
Do you feel like it took you practice? Like
yeah.
Like do you feel like you've progressed a lot?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I think even since like the first time like talking to you and sitting down here, I've changed exponentially.
Yeah. Me too. For myself. But
I feel that. I see that when I see I see you, Ash.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. but you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's good. The growth. We love the growth.
But, like, yeah, that's also, like, the thing. Like, I think that's also dealing with this album's, like, the growth and you wanting to be better and do the right thing.
Yeah.
I think inherently sometimes you still can have, like, not bad traits, but behaviors that may not be conducive and, like, I don't know. I'm just a petty person.
Some habits die hard.
Very hard. And if I ever feel like I've been wronged, I need to write that
person.
Oh,
no. Bad guy. Just kidding. So next song is It Is What It Is, which I feel like when you came on like the first or second time, probably the first time,
yeah,
we played a clip of that.
Wow.
So I don't have a clip of that, but definitely, listener, go check it out. It's also probably one of my favorite songs. So that was probably like over a year ago.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe two.
Yeah, my bet. That was
like 2020.
That was in 2020.
2020, yeah. So it's like a big fight going on. So I remember kind of talking about that. Do you feel like things have changed? But I guess first kind of maybe explain more in depth about what the song is about, or like what inspired it.
I think It Is What It Is. A story about two people within the song, but just kind of like, originally it was just about like kind of like the constraints of what quarantine can force you to, because you can't go outside, you're not trying to get someone sick. Also, like, actual is quarantine, but now you're forced to deal with someone that you may not have had to deal with all the time. Like, potentially, like, even if you had, like, been monogamous, but you had, like, other things that you did to, like, make the work relationship work, now you can't really go do those things without, like, telling them. And due to that, you actually have to, like, deal with each other instead of going out.
Mm.
And kind of like, It Is What It Is. It's kind of like
a lot more communication.
Well, yeah, or just like kind of dealing with like conflict, because like, it kind of imagine like if you're with someone and you live with someone and this whole quarantine's happening and COVID's out here and you don't know where it's going to go, it's like we're kind of stuck with each other. So whatever argument we get into, it is what it is. What's
up? Yeah. And like, yeah, but also feel like, yeah, like with more, like being around each other more, it leads to more communication. And especially like if you're in an open relationship, I would imagine it like forces more things that maybe you would usually just try to just like go about your day.
Yeah.
But I don't know if like that would create conflict talking about it more.
I mean, it
just
could.
Naturally.
I mean, it's like, I don't know. It's like living with someone or dating someone and just like, I don't know, you don't let like them tracking dirt to like your space or whatever.
Yeah.
So now instead of like one day out of a week tracking dirt, now because of quarantine, you gotta stay with each other like 5 days out of 7 days and they're tracking dirt. Like, so now it's like you can tolerate not saying anything for that one out of seven. So now you gotta deal with five. You can't tolerate it. So then eventually you're gonna snap. And then if they have a pet peeve that you may have, but they never vocalize, then they might snap. So it's like dealing with all those things that have been pent up that you haven't said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's like definitely a big fight that goes on. Sounds like there's alcohol involved. I think there's like a line about waking up on the bathroom floor, like 3 a.m. or something. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, you're drinking wine and you didn't think it was going to hit you that hard until later.
That's very true.
Sounds like y'all got in a fucked up, messy fight.
Oh, man. I will say that chorus comes from a very specific place. I think kind of at the time when I wrote it, it was just kind of like this cycle of things of like, yeah, if we love each other and we're doing this, and I guess we're going through all these different things, at the end of the day, if we're not going to make a decision to like walk away or stop having this, I guess it is what it is. What's up?
Yeah.
And I was like,
true facts. So I noted down because I remember, okay, when Kendrick Lamar, the album dropped and the song that everyone was talking about, We Cry Together featuring Taylor Page. I still haven't gotten around to watching the music video.
Oh, yeah, it's something.
Yeah, I heard.
It's something.
No? I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody probably has heard it. If you haven't, it's like a very back and forth skit like rap. Taylor Page kills it. She's in Zola. Yeah, I think, Zola. Which I also haven't seen, but I definitely have read the I've read the Twitter thread. So I know the story, but I need to watch the movie. The
movie slaps.
I want to watch it. But yeah, so it's featuring her. She's really good. It's them just like fighting. She's trying to leave for work or something, and he has her keys. She's like, where are my keys? And he's like, can't have them. And she's like, give me my fucking keys. And they're just like cussing each other out. So bad. I'm like, it's honestly so uncomfortable. I probably listened to the song maybe 4 times total because I can't.
See, that's,
I usually skip it if I listen to the album.
It's kind of wild. It's, well, the first time I heard the song, I was like, oh man, this beat hits.
Yeah. Like, I remember you hit me up on Simpin. You're like, we have to talk about this or something. So like when I was like, okay, it is what it is. Big fight. I was like, okay, this is a perfect opportunity.
Disclaimer. The content of it is what it is. It's not as drastic as.
No, oh, yeah. I don't think. Yeah. No. Not at all. Not at all. That, like, if you listen to We Cry Together, I hope nobody fights like that. That shit is so toxic.
That is.
My God.
That is toxic. It took me back because, like, I'm pretty sure, like, a lot of points reference. Like, have you seen Poetic Justice?
I haven't, which I know it's like kind of a reference to one of their fights.
Yeah, it's like it references a fight where, so without spoiling the whole movie for people, essentially Tupac is like this mail carrier for the USPS, and his homeboy convinces, well, he's driving to San Francisco, essentially, to the Bay from Los Angeles. And his homeboy is just like, hey, man, you should take my girl and my girl's friend, and we all should go to the Bay together, and you should drive the mail truck, yada, yada, yada. And Tupac just like, whatever. And then one of the friend is Janet Jackson. And then earlier in, like, the show, Tupac's trying to, like, mack at Janet Jackson, and she's just like, get out of here, pretty much. So essentially he's driving. And then he's like, and he's trying to talk to her, and he's just not having it. And he's just like, says explicitive towards her. And then she's just like, ain't nobody gonna call me explicitive. And she gets out of the car. And then they have a fight where they're just like, F you, F you, F you, F you, explicitive.
Yeah, this is pretty much the lyrics pulled up here on Genius. And like, they have like the little annotation here, and like,
yep.
As a Poetic Justice, yep. A little clip that of
is,
it.
Oh, that is 100% directly.
Fuck you. You got me fucked up. Fuck you. Fuck you.
Fuck you.
It's
fuck
crazy. You. Like, okay, like verse one. I swear I'm tired of these emotional ass, ungrateful ass bitches, unstable ass, confrontational ass, dumb bitches. You want to bring a dude down? Even when I'm trying to do right, we could go our separate ways right now. You could move on with your life. I swear to God. Fuck you. Then that's her. You love a pity party. I won't show up. Always act like your shit don't stink, motherfucker. Oh, grow up.
Yes, you're right. You love a pity party.
It's so good. Like, she literally, like, killed it. You love
a pity party.
Like, what else? I feel like at the end it gets, like, the worst. But, and then they start at the end, instead of, like, fuck you, it's like, fuck me. And then they start fucking. I'm like, oh, my God. In the video, I think they fuck, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
are you trying to say you've never been in a situation where you could relate to that?
Not in like a direct fight. I get too mad. I'm like, get the fuck away from me. Don't touch me.
You've never like been so upset. You're just like, actually,
no, I can't relate when people talk about that. I cannot relate. I get too mad. I might literally kill you. But no, maybe after killing.
After
but I'll never find out because I'm not trying to go to jail.
After catching a body, I see.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I definitely hear people talk about that. Like, everyone's like, okay, well, like, makeup sucks. And, like, I could do, like, makeup sex is good. But, like, to the point of, like, in the middle of an argument it turning into that, I need anger management, I guess, because I cannot relate. You can?
I would say I've experienced some things where argument just led into hooking up.
Okay. I mean, it sounds kind of cool. Maybe I'll just try to control my anger and try it out next time.
So, do you think it's toxic because of how hyperbole this argument is presented that someone could just view this as humor?
Humor? I mean, if that's your type of humor.
No, I think that was like made me even reevaluate how desensitized I am towards not even personal arguments, because I think I can understand if, like, all the specifics, like if it's happening in an argument, and how someone could be like, this is toxic, this is dangerous, also this is verbal abuse. I can understand that. I can definitely say I have been in relationships, situationships, other things where things have been said, things have been done, things have been thrown at me, hands have been put on me, all those things. And I'm just like, that's just part of the thing. I understand that. And I evaluate that's not okay. However, I think definitely with, like, watching Poetic Justice and definitely seeing media, where, like, these fights are kind of like, I don't know if it's, like, also, like, a cultural thing. I feel like certain cultural media that just say, oh, the spiciness of, like, emotion is just part, this is part of the love. It's part of that they care. Like, if someone want to slash your tires, that means they love you.
Yeah.
Because if they wouldn't want to slash your tires, I mean, they don't love you enough to want to slash your tires.
Yeah, there was, like, this whole thing that happened after, like, the Megan and Tory thing happened, where, like, you know, like, allegedly, I believe you, Meg, Tory shot her in the foot. And who was it? It was Drea from, like, what is she from even? I literally only know her from, like, Twitter. It's probably, like, Love and Hip Hop,
something.
Probably. Yeah. One of those things. I don't know.
Basketball Wives.
I've heard, like, crazy things about her where she, like, left her kids at home to, like, go fuck with some dude. She's not a good person. But she got, like, a brand ambassador.
I won't throw Drea in, but a lot of people leaving their kids at home to go fuck with people. Some people bring people to come fuck while the kids are still in the house. So I'm just saying.
I mean, that's better than leaving them. As long as you're in the room with the door closed. Yeah. Okay. So apparently she got, like, a brand ambassador job, like, for Savage Fenty. Mm. And then she went on a podcast and made...
Shout out to Rihanna.
Shout out. Even though she's been disappointing me a little with the Johnny Depp shit, but that's a whole nother conversation.
Oh, man, we can talk about that for days.
I know. We don't need to talk about that today. For the sake of the story, she went on a podcast and made jokes about, like, oh, basically, like, I wish, like, a dude would love me so much that he would threaten to shoot me or something like that. So then she...
Who said that?
Drea. And she lost her Savage Fenty brand ambassador spot because of that.
That looks like a case of fucking around and finding out.
Yeah. So, yeah, it kind of just reminds you what you're talking about. Like, you know, like, finding, like, the humor and making jokes about, like, abuse, basically. Like, making light of it and be like, well, if they're that crazy about you, they must love you. Like, if they threaten to kill you, they love you. Like, that's insane that that's, like, normalized, because that's not okay. But, I mean, it's, like, people, like, don't see a line between, like, comedy and real life sometimes.
Yeah, by far. I think, side note, sidebar, and we don't have to, like, go on a tangent. I can comment at least, like, black media, a lot of things. Like, a lot of times, like, in groups, like, sometimes we normalize certain things. But in order to, like, get away from the pain of that, we make it into, like, a joke, like, of the extremes.
To cope.
Yeah, that's, like, a big thing. Because I, in recent time, like, in the last 2 months, like, I've ended up seeing, like, the movie Baby Boy, like, more than any person should have to watch Baby Boy.
And I haven't seen that in a long time.
That movie is toxic, like, as hell.
I, like, recognize, like, how toxic it was even back then. And then, like, I would see people talk about it and, like, point the finger at the wrong people. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, because there's the things that we learn to, like, normalize and how we rationalize things. But, yeah, even, like, connecting is, like, when I remember, like, even watching it when I was younger, even when I was just like, man, that's toxic as hell, or this is problematic. And then everyone else that looking around weren't responding the same way I was. And I'm like, yeah. I'm a child. And I can see Jody ain't shit. These situations ain't shit. All these people ain't shit.
Yeah, it's crazy. Because it's, like, there's even, like, a scene where, like, he's, like, about to cheat with that girl. And then, like, they're basically, like, kissing and stuff. And then, like, he leaves and he's, like, getting praised for it. And I'm like, nah, he already cheated. What do you mean? Like, how's he getting praised? And I feel like that's such a trope in a lot of, like, Like, not even, like, black media. I've seen it in, like, other shit, too.
Don't you know cheating only starts at penetration?
That's crazy.
If there is no penetration, there is no cheating.
They tried to sell that narrative.
That's what.
And then I stood up and I was like, ladies. Just kidding. But, like, yeah, that's crazy that, like, they tried to sell that as, like, oh, what a good man. He left before it got to penetration.
What a man.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
What am I? So that was a fun tangent. that was good, solid stuff. I mean, we need to talk about that because, like, it is crazy how normalized shit can be.
Yeah, like I said, we end up normalizing it, and then sometimes people who actually went through it, they actually normalize it, and that's when it becomes, like, problematic. Because I do remember the first time I broke up with an ex back in college, and she was like, "You are not breaking up with me." And I was just like, this is not healthy. And then
she
proceeded to hit my car with a tennis racket and then write in lipstick, "You are not leaving me." And I was just like,
she left evidence?
She did not care. Man, I would be at work.
It's like Krishan Rock.
She would do donuts in the parking lot until I came out.
Oh, dude. Same girl. I remember you told me about this before.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Anyway. That is wild. Yeah, I was actually just talking to you. I was just talking to Alexa and April. I think you were in the room. Also, by the way, April's in the room. Shout out to April, producer, director April. We were talking about, like, Krishan and Blueface before we started recording the Amigas podcast. I love her. She's so funny, but it's just, like, really fucked up and weird and just, like, making me really uncomfortable, like, how abusive her and Blueface are. Like, I mean, I don't really believe in mutual abuse. I mean, I do think girls can be abusive and, like, throw hands first, but I just think as a man, like, you should de-escalate that without having to beat someone up and, like, throw hands, like, close fist. Like, you could easily overpower a girl as a man. I know some guys are like, well, whatever, like, you do hands and then you get what's coming to you.
I think it's some weird thing that I never understood, where it must come from this men just having hate for women, where they're just trying to extra justify putting hands on women. And I have never understood it. I've never understood normalization of it. I've never understood just like, well, girls do this. I'm just like, why do you adamantly want to put violence on women so much? It's like, it never has made sense to me. Still doesn't make sense to me when people say it. I'm just like, that's weirdo behavior.
So you easily overpower a woman. Like, I understand if it's like you're like this little dude and like your big ass girlfriend's like fucking you up and you have to defend yourself. But like, that's usually not the case.
Yeah. But you know, people like normalize and try to justify whatever. And they found the one case to be like, you see this woman threw an axe at him. He had nothing. He had to put hands on her. She had an axe.
Yeah, I've literally seen the wildest videos of, like, a girl barely, like, accidentally hitting a guy in, like, this big-ass brawl, and then this guy just, like, socks the shit out of her. I was like, what the fuck? That was so unnecessary.
Because they have so much internalized hate. They're like, I'm waiting for the
moment.
Couldn't
wait.
Cannot wait.
Like, living so for that moment, yeah. Yeah, so the whole Krishan Blueface thing is fucking crazy. Like, it's weird that it's just, like, a ha-ha, hee-hee, like, thing on the internet, and they're just, like, real life going through some crazy shit.
I got an interesting story to tell you off the camera.
Oh, can't wait. Yeah. Sorry, guys. all right, so back to this. Can't wait for the juicy gossip later.
The goss.
Next song, Professional Side Piece 4. PSP 4. My note here sounds like you're sad and regretful, but trying to let it go. And I'll play a clip before we get into it.
Make up, three-legged race, but the distance we can make up. Started with a low bit, now the stakes up. Devil dealing, heavy begging, nothing but our wage up. Got a lot of thoughts, but it's easy not to say much. Dreaming big, big, but it's easy not to wake up. Was a slow start, time to pick the pace up. Loving on the budget, but we fucking through the pay cut. Swear to God, go really try to do it dirty, but we got until midnight. Swing, 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 swing.
Okay, okay. Love that song. Very sad beat, the whatever, the synths or whatever's going on in the background. Yeah. I'm just like, sad. And then like the like robotic type of voice.
Yeah, vocoder. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Really dope.
How do you like it? As a lot of the production is like my favorite production like work on for a project.
Yeah, it's very fun. It reminds me of just like, yeah, like sad robot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'm so sad robot boy.
Yeah, it's like, you know, trying to like not have feelings, but you still have feelings because you're not really a robot at the end of the day. So it's like sad robot, sad beat.
Yeah, I know. Like I remember when I wrote that first verse, three-legged race, but the distance we can make up. Started with a little bit, not a stakes up. Devil bidding, heavy begging, doesn't put our wage up. I just remember like the image of like. Cause like easy, cause like when you're solo, or being a side piece, cause like the whole combination of PSP 4 to PMP is like this transition of like, you started the relationship as like a side piece, but now you have like this caring part, and now you're going through the whole thing. Is like, can I be a main piece to somebody who's asking?
Considering it, thinking about it,
or is it just like, what's the word that people like to say on TikTok? Imposter syndrome.
Right. That's a good word.
Where I think I can be this thing and you're faking it, but is that really what you can do? But anyway, like the idea of like, yeah, anybody can do a race and run by yourself and you deal with the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
But like if you have a three-legged race, I always think about the idea of like a field day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because I was like, yeah, it's always a field day with us. And like I think about that being like, it's always like games or like a whole test and things like between a relationship.
Yeah.
But even if it's a field day between me and you, it's a three-legged race. But the distance we can make up together. Like, if we get it together, we can, like, do it. And I just remember when I wrote that and the person I thought about, I was just like, yeah, we can figure it out, but we got to do it together.
Yeah.
Together.
It's like teamwork. And sometimes in a team, one of you is better at this and the other is better at that. So at moments, it's like one of you is going to have to carry.
Got to be in sync.
The weight. Yeah, and then so PMP that you mentioned is professional main piece.
Yeah.
So that's the next song, and then how you're talking about like imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's a good like way or like a good phrase to bring up for this, just because like maybe it feels like you can't do it because you're not like used to it,
yeah,
conditioned to it. So you're like, this is not me. Even if you're doing it, it's like, I'm not. Am I really?
Yeah. I mean, there's also just like not knowing what to do. When you only have to care about yourself, about the success, the burnout, like it's very easy to just be, it's already hard enough to take care of yourself. So it's even harder if you have to make sure to take care of another person.
Yeah.
So even if like, I don't know, if you know a person doesn't communicate well and they could be going through something, but you care enough to want to help them. Even telling yourself, okay, I need to ask them, are you okay? And even if they say no, be like, no, it seems like you're not okay.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I think that's very intentional.
Yeah, and intentionality. And that's like a thing that I think comes with like wanting to be someone's significant other and like accept that. And I think a lot of people don't understand that. And that's what the biggest transition.
A lot of people want to stay selfish, even though they're like in a committed thing and it's like, bro, if you're not ready, just don't.
It's easy to be selfish.
You don't have to be in a relationship. Like, people want the benefits without the work sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And then sometimes you convince yourself, like, is there any benefit? Am I just doing this? Because, like, is this making the other person happy? Or are we just passing time? Did we just do this because quarantine's happening?
Yeah.
Did we just do this because we didn't have any other options at the time? All those different things add self-doubt. and you'll know. And it's easier if you're just like, I'm always a side piece, so.
Yeah.
I know eventually I'm going to go off.
Yeah, exactly. Which leads into Idle Hands, which is also another one of my favorites. But PMP, what other notes do I have here? Tell me what it's like when you like the bad guy, but it still feels right. And or am I better as a side piece? We'll know eventually.
Yeah, that's like the thing. It's like at that cusp, like the story, it's I'm involved with you trying to figure out this path. Am I better as a main piece versus a side piece? We'll know eventually because we either still be together or we won't be together.
What's going to happen?
Yeah. And that's kind of like the shoot you do.
Rolling the dice?
Yeah, because like, yeah, it's just like, because obviously like emotions are there. I care about you, but can you actually do that?
Yeah.
Because like you can like want a job, but you'd be like, can I do this job? I want to be a doctor. Can I deal with blood every day?
I guess we'll find out.
Guess we're going to find out.
Quite the dice roll. Yeah, because it's like you're going to have to just try. And then if you can't, you're going to have to fail and have to deal with those feelings of maybe feeling like, damn.
Oh, damn.
I can't do this after all. But at least I tried.
I mean, you know, it's like you never had something you had to like tap out from where you just like realize like this ain't for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, was it happens. Easy? No. Fuck no. It's never easy. I feel like as like humans, we want to be able to conquer anything that we do. We don't want to be failures. Sometimes we'll even just like write it out, even if you're fucking just crashing into everything.
Yeah, because it's the easiest path, right?
Yeah.
So it's easier because sometimes that goes back to the whole selfish thing, right? So if you fail at something, you can always say, I caused this. It's same if someone else is involved, then at least like you have a woulda, coulda, shoulda is like maybe it's that person's fault. Maybe I could have did it by myself. Yada, yada, yada. Yeah. So like I think even as like a selfish like response to even being in a group situation, you're just like, well, I'll keep doing this until it's not here or that person says whatever. Because then it's like, okay, they made the decision. I can walk away. But
yeah.
And sometimes you got to be able to catch it and be like, this ain't working.
Yeah. Takes a lot of like personal strength and accountability to do that. But that's when you grow.
Yeah.
When you choose to make those hard decisions.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so it goes into Idle Hands, kind of how you were talking about. Like, okay, so like the main quote, I don't know if it originates from the Bible. There's like a saying.
Shout out to the Bible.
Shout out God. Yeah.
The first half and the second half.
Of the Bible?
Yeah, you know.
I know nothing about the Bible. Tell me.
I know too much about the Bible.
Oh, interesting. I want to read it just like.
There's an Old Testament and then a New Testament.
Oh, okay. Is it like technically half or just like?
Well, it's not technically half. It's like, I think the easiest way is
like the new edition.
So like the First Testament is a lot of where like the Torah like reads from. Like all the things from like conception of like man and God to like Moses, and that's kind of like where the Torah mostly ends. And like the New Testament is all like the post Moses involving Jesus stuff,
and like saints and stuff like that.
The apostles and stuff like that. But it's like it's a wild difference because like a lot of the first part is like where all the, like the stories of like God sending down fire or water or like God
Adam and Eve stuff.
Or God like making you like if you love me, kill your son.
Oh my God, that shit's crazy. Wait, so that's the Old Testament?
That's Old Testament. That's the Old Testament. New Testament is just like Jesus hanging out, being like, hey guys.
It's like more chill.
Hey guys, just be good people.
Better
man.
Vibes.
I
feel like all the Old Testament stuff and all the stories I hear are probably Old Testament. Yeah, like all the scary stuff.
All the Old Testament.
That's like more of like the the God you're supposed to fear vibes.
Oh no, like I as a God fearing man and a person who read the Bible, I would say the Old Testament of the Bible deals with a petty God who takes a lot of things personal.
Lots of revenge.
He deals with things on a very hand by hand, first hand basis.
Okay.
Like, yeah, if he senses you doing something wrong, he shows up.
Okay.
And the
second one is like more libertarian God.
Oh yeah, he's
hands off.
Because this is like after he's like forgotten about us, he's like, And then, like, his son or Jesus, whatever you want to imagine, just, like, comes down and just like, I think humans are cool.
Oh, damn.
And he's just like, yo, you want to chill with humans? You think they're cool? Then you go down there and die for them. And then Jesus goes like, well, I'm going to go hang out.
Oh, my God. This is so intense. So many things about the Bible that I don't know. This is staying in. I can't be the only one that doesn't know this. The reason the Bible came up was because the last song, Idle Hands, in parentheses, King of the Low-Key. Idle Hands. It's like one of like your first lyrics. You're talking about Idle Hands, and like you have your own like lyrics about that, mm-hmm. which I'll let you say those. But it reminded me of like this really good like saying. It's like a proverb supposedly from the Bible. I don't know if it originated from there, but it's like idle hands are the devil's tools, or like idle hands are the devil's playground. And it basically means, I like Googled, that someone who is unoccupied and bored will find mischief. Someone who has nothing to do will partake in something that will get him into trouble. So it does sound very like puritanical vibes, like why they would make people work back in the day. Because it's like, if you don't work and stay busy, like the devil will get in your head or whatever. So it just reminds me of what you were talking about with like, you know, COVID, maybe you're bored, or like in general, like maybe partaking in something that you normally wouldn't because you just don't have anything else going on. And then also, what else was it? It'll come to me. Meanwhile, what are like the intro lyrics to the song, if you remember?
Oh, I remember. Yeah, really. Idle hands are devil things. That's why people buy wedding rings, hoping that they lock it down so other lovers don't come back around. Funny things or worse things, infidelity, you don't know.
Do I have to spell it out?
I got to spell it out like a spelling bee?
Yeah, you do.
What is love and what is right? Demons dance and end the night. King of the low key. Yeah, you know me. Pay a fee just to hold me. Everything that shines ain't holy. Yeah, that song is pretty significant as like a pivotal ending of like the album, because that's the first time I let the complete voice note play out, revealing like the path the person chose. The term idle hands are the devil things, which just implies like, when you have nothing to do, you'll just get into some mischief. And like some parents are like that, where they're just like, if you're not doing anything and they don't hear anything, it's like, what are you up to?
Yeah, like it's too quiet in here.
It's too quiet. And the thing is just like when you're bored or like being docile, I think sometimes you can get in what people view as being like mischief. And I think
makes sense.
And I think sometimes when like lovers or partners fear that because something's stagnant or they feel a disconnect, they feel like if they put a wedding ring on it, they can force you to like still be with them so you don't find another situation. Ooh. So that's why I was like, idle hands are the devil's things. That's why people buy wedding rings, hoping that they lock it down so the lovers don't come back around.
Ooh, before like somebody else comes and like tries to swoop in.
Yeah. And I've been in a situation where it seems as though, going back to even the narrative of the story about someone proposing, are they proposing because they actually want to be with someone, or are they proposing just because they think they might lose that person to someone else? It goes back.
Maybe they knew about you and they wanted you to back off. Ooh. Okay, well, I have a clip, but let's play it.
Come full circle.
You know I care about you.
Right?
You know I care about you. I don't know where this is going. And I don't know, he seems so sure about me, and I think I'm gonna say yes. Look, I don't think I can see you anymore.
Idle hands are devil things. Why people buy wedding rings, hoping that they lock you down. Other lovers will come back around. Funny things are the worst things. Infidelity, you don't know. I guess I have to spell it out like
spelling B. What is love and what is right? Demons dance. dancing in the night, king of the low key. Yeah, you know me.
But yeah, so I love that song. Like, when if you, everybody listener, go listen to the rest of the song. Your performance in it is really dope. You like get really like, I don't know, like emotional.
Yeah.
Like real and raw. I was like, this is dope. But yeah, so what is like YSL, the character at the end of the album now, his state of mind? Like, is there a conclusion to this, like a resolution, or like what's going on here?
I think it's kind of like going through a battle of like a bunch of stuff. Cause like, I think it deals with like two paths, or cause it kind of like dealing with like revelation of someone proposing to another person. Cause that was like the whole thing of, instead of going from like being very dismissive of like the relationship or whatever could have come out of that situation, now you're like, you're emotionally like involved. So now you're dealing with your own internal doubt and connecting from like professional or PMP. Deal with imposter syndrome. You're like going through all those things, and you're just, because it goes with a bunch of things. It goes with like, yeah, so like, yeah, a lot of people buy rings to try to lock down situations. That's why some people get pregnant, to try to lock down situations, to force people's hands and do all different things. And like, I think in the song, it just kind of deals with like, one, like, I would never want that, but also I just want something that's like real. And it kind of just goes through all the different things that come with trying to make your relationship like work. And the thing is just like, yeah, and I end the song with like, yeah, baggage claim is taking too long, I understand if you can't wait. And like the idea of like flying back, carrying all your baggage and like waiting for someone to like pick you up, but then they're like, even though they're supposed to like pick you up and be there for you or whatever, they're like complaining that you're taking too long. And just like,
fucking leave then.
Yeah, pretty much. Just like, baggage claim is taking a little bit long, understand if you can't wait. So it's like, because like the navigation of just like partnerships, dealing with people, and we all got our own baggage, we're all navigating different things, and the whole thing's supposed to be like in sync.
Yeah.
And you're working through it. Yeah, there's like there's a lot of different things. Even like part of the song was just like, damn, do we always gotta fight on a Saturday? It just like,
gotta ruin the day.
Yeah, just
you
like,
gotta fight with me at cheesecake.
I mean, but it's like, it's all those things are like a culmination of like, where you're the only, you're the closest person to someone. So it's always the person close to you is the easiest person to hate. Yeah. While they're the easy person to love, you know the most about them, and they know the most about you. So it is vulnerable. So like, where you can dismiss someone else like treating you a certain way, if someone else treats you a certain way, but they know a lot about you, it's like more of a personal thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know my secrets and you're beefing with me. Like, I just like, it just takes, it takes it as being more personal. Like, if you knew nothing about me, it'd be easier for me to accept you doing like fuckery. But like,
just like, supposedly it doesn't cut as deep.
Yeah, it cuts deep. And like, Idle Hands just kind of deal with that on both ends. One, just going from the transition of that person getting proposed to, and the idea of like someone trying to stop you from doing what you want to do and trying to force you, but also just like in general, like Idle Hands, or
because it feels like she, because this first part we hear like the full thing, which we've heard like different variations of, which I think we talked about off the podcast, was like on purpose. Mm-hmm. Or just like we talked about like memories and mm-hmm. just even remembering things differently, and then also just like after growth, looking back at things and viewing it differently. That's how you explained it. Mm-hmm. Which is a good point, especially if like all this took place over years. I'm sure like looking back at songs, was like, was this the last song that you wrote?
You know, it's crazy. I wrote, so there's a bonus song that's not on the official release, that was on the other release, will be on the deluxe. That is technically the A side. Technically, this is the B side to another song. Oh. But technically, Idle Hands, PSP4, and the other song, which people have heard, which is Namba, were all written at like the same time. And I wrote them, most of them, when I first came back from Japan in 2020.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. A lot of the, like, some things have changed, but like, for the most, like, the emotional part of it, I wrote, like, at that time. Mm.
When it was fresh.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of where I thought the ending was always going to go for the project is so ended there. It was just like all the other things that happened, which is why. Yeah. When I released the deluxe album, all the things were like all make sense. But I think for the perspective of like Idle Hands is think about it from the perspective of the person who got proposed to and another person on the other side that was like connected to that person and what Idle Hands could like mean to them.
The other person, like young student loans?
Yeah. So the thing is just like if your partner's scared about that, you can't wait forever and they're trying to lock you down. Or it makes you think like I can wait forever.
Also, I feel like from the performance of her voicemail and like what she says, it feels like she wants young student loans to like stop her from getting engaged a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was like the intention. Cause like, why else would you be reaching out to somebody to be like, I want to talk to you about it? For what? It's none of their business. It's not their decision. But I don't know. That's just me though.
No, that's a valid thing. I think that's why it's a conflicting thing is like, you're telling me, you're saying all this stuff, like, what does this have to do with me?
Yeah, I feel like in general, just reaching out to, like, your partner to talk about anything is kind of like a plea for wanting them to say something specific.
Yeah.
Or to, I don't know, help you to come to your own conclusion or whatever. But I think just, like, the act of trying to communicate just is, like, reaching out for something. Like, you don't just, like, spring that on someone without wanting some kind of conclusion.
Yeah. But I think if all of it's like moving with intent. Everyone should, if you care about something, you should move with intent.
Yeah. True. Well,
Idle Hands are the devil's things.
True. Well, that concludes the deep dive.
It does include a deep dive. Yes. You have any other questions about anything?
All my questions and curiosities have been answered, and we'll just look out for the deluxe. When is that coming out? Do you know?
December.
He said it. He said it.
December. Yeah.
All right. Dope.
Cool.
Well, now we have reached the tweet portion of the podcast.
These Monog tweets?
Yeah. It could be. I don't know. No, I think it could apply to anybody. You tell me. All right, so we have the first one. At Fine. She said, the realest females don't ask fine, for though? Shit. Mm. Can't see.
Mm. The realest. Yeah, filter. You know how I feel about filters.
Yeah, you don't like filters, do you? But I mean, it's fine, like, here and there. You know, for a profile picture, I think it's fine. But maybe not when you're sending pictures. I mean, if it's not a dating app, like, who cares? No? That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. All right, anyway. The realest females don't ask for shit, .. All we be wanting is time, effort, attention, food, and for you to answer your motherfucking phone. So first of all, when a girl says females, I'm like, girl, what are you doing? There's already some type of fuckery. But also, I mean, she's right, like, not about the realest females. I don't like when girls try to be like the realest females or like, shut up. Just say your tweet without having to do all that. That's just me though. And then I was just cracking up because in the replies, like this guy was like, that's five things right there. And this other guy was like shit. So basically the dudes were like complaining and the reply is like, that's asking for too much. So you, what do you think? Is that asking for too much time, effort, attention, food, and answer your motherfucking phone?
Nah, because she's not even asking for, like, dick. That was, like, the thing. I was like, wait, she's not even.
If she asked for dick, is that too much?
Nah, that would just be, like, expected.
Yeah, like, that's, like, just included in, like, the basic think, package, right?
Yeah, that
doesn't mean she's lying. Isn't all of this, like, included in the basic package? Is any of this asking for too much for
of
you?
Of a monog relationship, time, yeah, effort, go. Attention, that goes with time and effort. Food. Some people can't cook.
Take them to dinner.
Yeah, and then answer your phone. Cool. Yeah, like I said, I think dick's the only thing like missing there. The food is optional because I don't know if you need food to have like a successful.
You wanted to die? Starve? He said starve, bitch. I think it's unnecessary, okay? It's a basic human. Haslow, is that Haslow? Haslow's needs? Is that wrong?
Haslow's hierarchy.
Haslow's
hierarchy of needs. Yeah, you know what's crazy? I mention Haslow's hierarchy all the fucking time. Whenever someone's trying to like talk about why can't this group get it together? I was like, well, Haslow's hierarchy needs. This group hasn't had enough time to get the basic foundation to get to like a self-actualization.
Exactly.
While your group, who's been marginalizing, has gotten there, and now you're judging a. Yeah,
that's facts, though. Like, how do you want me to work on my toxic traits, actualize myself if you're not feeding me?
Gotta feed. You can feed. You can feed.
It's like a gremlin.
Like, well, see, out of all the things, food's the only thing that you technically can do yourself.
No, just kidding.
No,
I suppose. But I don't know. I need to be fed. Maybe that's my love language. I recently have been reading and finding out, have not looked into it, that the freaking love language guy was like a Nazi or something.
I believe it.
What the fuck?
I mean.
So love languages are canceled.
Are they?
Just kidding.
I remember like.
I mean, it's a good concept, but I guess at the same time, it's just like there's other forms of expression. It's just one way of looking at it. One way of looking at things.
All right, so out of all these things, what are you fighting over?
Time, effort, attention, food, and answering your motherfucking phone. All five.
And dick.
And
that's getting thrown on there.
Fighting over all of them. I need all of them.
Well, you're like Cardi B, and we're fighting over dick, too.
I think when she was talking about that, she's, oh, you mean fighting like girls?
No, well,
because I feel like when Cardi B said that, I'm fighting over dick too. I feel like she meant like she's fighting bitches over her
know,
dick.
I know, but just
the me, side. I'm not fighting nobody over dick, except my man. It's my dick and I want it now. I'm just kidding. That's rape.
I want it now.
Yeah, no, I feel like even like for love languages, like we all like know which one is like our main one that we like. But at the same time, it's like we need all of them to some degree. I feel like you can't, if somebody tells you this is their love language, you can't just neglect all the rest because they said they like this one, you know? It's neglectful.
I believe you. I think all of that's valid.
But.
Like, I guess for me, we talked about this in our first episode. I think I lied about my love languages the first time.
Cause lied?
Like, yeah.
Came on my fucking podcast and lied?
No, that's
to my face? I'm just kidding.
It's called growth. Okay. I grew. I understood. I realized everything I was saying in 2020 was nonsense and bullshit, and I grew more.
Growth.
Yeah, I don't know. I think my love language is like, what is it? It's gifts, affirmation, servitude.
Physical touch. I can't think. Oh, acts of service, physical touch, gifts, affirmation, words of affirmation, quality time.
Quality time. Yeah, I think before I was like, words of affirmation I don't need. I think maybe I just only said, I don't know, I said something. I think I just realized now. It's actually like, I realize acts of service kind of goes into like the things I need, which is just like
act of service is like so underrated.
Yeah, for me, acts of service is doing what you say, just doing the thing.
Valid, but even just like somebody going out of their way to like do something for you to make your day easier is just so nice. Yeah. Like that's such a like you love me.
Yeah, man. What hit me in like August, and I couldn't put into words. Maybe September, October. I was just like, man, the best thing you can do for me is not stress me. That's the greatest gift you could do is not add stress to my life.
Yeah.
Help me. Help that me. That is true. Help you.
That is very valid to want that. But I think just as relationships develop, it's hard to maintain that.
I mean, I think someone's actively always in the right intention trying to help you, which is helping us,
yeah,
that is great.
I guess it depends on the level of commitment, because like if somebody's like wanting more time or affection and it's like you don't want to do that, you just don't fuck with them like that, it's gonna cause some friction.
No, that's true. I'm down for all those things. The only thing I've asked is just like, do what you say. Be there.
That's the biggest thing. Yeah, just do what you say. Don't say you're gonna do something if you're not gonna fucking do it. You set yourself up.
Yeah, I think the thing why I like hated words of affirmations, I was like, anyone can say words.
Yeah, I think a lot of people hate on that one because it's just like it could be faked. Probably the easiest.
I mean, words sound cool, but then I was thinking about servitude and gifts. That's where I'm at.
Period.
Buy me things.
Period.
Yeah.
Buy me things.
I would like to say.
I like gifts, yeah.
Going back to like Lion Hotel, did not pay for any of those hotels.
Okay.
Fantastic time.
Okay.
Hypothetically speaking.
Love that for you.
April's favorite word.
Hypothetically. We love that.
Love that for you, hon.
Yeah, so in conclusion, this is not too much to ask for, I don't think. It's just, I guess, maybe to the degree that you want it. But I think a good thing to know is if you bring this up to somebody that you're talking to, like, I just want time, effort, attention, food, and for you to answer your motherfucking phone. Like, if those are your standards. And I think if you get any pushback, like, from jump, that's probably your cue to leave if you don't want to have to deal with some bullshit.
What about them just, like, liking you?
That's not enough.
No. Here's, let me rephrase. I think all those things come naturally.
If they like you.
If someone actually, like, likes you.
Yeah.
Because a big thing also for my realization and, like, kind of internalizing and dealing with is, like, you can be in love, you can love someone and not be in love with them.
Or not even like them.
But I feel like in love can at least be part of, like, the like thing. But you can just love someone. And my whole thing is just, like, loving me can't do shit.
Yeah.
Because if you don't want to be around me, then that means, like, you don't like the things that I do. You don't want to help me do. Like, if we're wasting time,
yeah,
let's move towards something.
Yeah, love is definitely not enough.
Yeah.
At all. Ever.
Not like the basic love. We need active love.
Yeah. No, active, yeah, like, just even just saying you love someone or, like, yeah, it's just, it's not enough. Like, you have to show that you love someone in different ways, like acts of service or whatever.
But I feel like it's part of, like, being in love with someone or liking someone. Like, you're willing to do those things. Is that, I just hate the thing of, like, pulling teeth.
Exactly. So, like, yeah. So, like, I'm saying, like, if like, say you're some guy and I'm like, I want this, and it feels like I'm having to pull your fucking teeth for this shit. Like, you're already, like, rolling your eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Like, yeah. I'm walking away. You don't like me enough, clearly. Because if you did, you would be like, yes, immediately. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So that's just, like, a good way. Just state, like, your needs from jump.
Yeah.
And then make sure that they're actually pulling through.
Yeah, and at least if, like, because I think even if, like, you aren't doing the right thing or to someone else is, like, not doing the right thing for, like, them, you're, like, willing and you're, like, attentive. But the thing is, like, I think is that, like, I don't know. I feel like there's, like, this, like, part where people can just be in sync where intrinsically they know they mutually want the best for each other. So even the things that they're learning, they're in it together.
Yeah.
It's not like just a one side, like, I'm going to force you to do this thing because we're together. It's more like,
yeah. You have to both be willing participants in this and both be willing to learn
for sure
as you go and grow and apply the things that you're learning, you know?
So. Yeah.
All right. And then I have this last tweet at, she said, men actually do listen. You just have to communicate without yelling and lose the attitude. I usually don't say the person's name if I don't agree with them, but I guess this is up for interpretation. I don't really agree with this. Not that I feel like you should yell and lose the attitude, but I feel like, I don't know how you feel about this. I feel like sometimes people use the whole, like, tone policing as a way to dismiss you and just, like, completely negate what you said and, like, deflect type of thing. I feel like it's, like, a very toxic personality trait, and it's kind of hard to catch because, yeah, maybe you did come off kind of rude or with tone, but at the same time, like, was it valid? Did you piss me off? Did you do something? Did you deserve this tone? Because if you did, then deal with the fucking tone and listen to what I'm saying. Am I wrong?
Did you slash my tire while you were yelling?
No, I'm talking purely tone. And even like the whole yelling, losing attitude, it's just, this is very pick me-ish to me. No hate to her.
Not,
like,
not the pick me's.
I'll probably delete her name just because I'm calling her a pick me. So this could technically be the pick me patrol segment. So I'm going to bleep out her name.
Pick me patrol.
Whoop, whoop. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I feel like if someone is saying something valid and they had tone for a valid reason, it shouldn't like be reason for the other person to be like, well, I'm not listening or having this conversation until you lose your attitude. Like, maybe I can't lose my attitude because you piss me off.
I think in recent time I haven't experienced that. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think a lot. Well,
are you good at communicating your feelings without like catching an attitude? Are you easily upset at all by anything?
If someone hit like my petty gene, then like I just, that's what makes it hard. I've gotten better at that. In 2020, okay. I was not good at that. Now I'm better at like catching myself where I'm just like, am I saying this because I'm trying to be petty or am I saying this to actually be constructive?
Yeah.
Important. So I mean, I can be upset. It's all about intent. And if I think someone's like unjustifiably like overreacting to something or being hypocritical for no reason, then I get petty. And I have a very good memory, so I keep catalogs of things people have said and done.
I'm the same.
So I can,
it's like I have the worst short-term memory, but like when it comes to keeping track of shit, oh, you better fucking believe.
I will pick dates and situations and different things of someone. So I have to get better at that and just be like, is it worth it? So I usually
pick your battles.
Not even pick my battle. I have learned to bite my tongue.
Why?
And grit my teeth. Just because, well,
you feel like you get out of hand, like too petty?
Oh, I know I can get too petty. I think it's more of like, at least I thought I was making the right, going back to the album, transitioning from like not being connected and one having partners, sometimes deciding what's the best way to handle a situation and whether or not you need to deal with everything the same way you deal with other things. So I was just like, maybe sometimes I need to take the higher road. Sometimes I don't need to bring up old stuff. Sometimes I need to just let it be.
Yeah. No, yeah, bringing up old stuff is never good. I feel like nothing good ever comes out of bringing up old stuff.
Sometimes people have bad memories and you gotta...
Yeah. And it's so, like, just nuanced and not black and white at all. Because, like, you could say, like, oh, don't bring up old shit. Don't have attitude. Yeah. Like, take the higher road. But at the end of the day, it's just, like, each individual, like, argument or conflict or whatever it may be is so just its own specific thing that may warrant some things that people advise against. At least I feel that way.
No, I agree. Like I said, if people are like in like with each other, usually they were trying to figure the thing out.
But yeah,
if you're already also back to idle hands, if you're always already 1 foot in and 1 foot out the door, then what are we doing?
It's easier to just pick fights like that and just not take the high road.
Yeah, if you got an exit plan, you're like, I'm waiting for them to throw something. See, this is why I broke up with you, because you threw this vase. Well, the only reason I threw this vase is because you told me my mom was blah, blah, blah.
Your mom.
No, people do stuff like that.
Oh, my God.
Or, like, say the thing. Because, like, a lot of people don't have enough, like, bravery to actually break up with someone. So it'll just push them to a situation where they'll break up with them.
Yeah. I feel like men do that more. But that's just me instigating.
Mm-hmm.
But I also just feel like I'm really right.
Elaborate.
I really feel like men don't like to break up with women. I feel like they'll like push you to your edge. like, I don't know if it's like they're willing to write it out or they're just like okay with being with someone that they don't really care about. Maybe it's just me being on TikTok too much.
I mean, I think, you know what, I kind of agree. I'm just like the opposite. I'm just such a passion person.
Yeah.
So if, like, here's the thing about me. Like, I realize I can't really hide it. I'm just such a, like, passion person. Like, so if I don't even feel like there is passion there between something, I just cannot even fake the funk. Like, I just become, like, disinterested. Don't want to, like, do anything. Don't want to be involved. I'm just, like...
Which is probably hurtful for the other person, but it's, like, a good thing in, like, the long run. Yeah, it's, like, the best thing, because if you can't fake it, then you just have to.
Yeah, but usually at that point for me, I just feel like the person's lying to themselves about what they're trying to do. And my whole thing is, like, I'd rather not waste each other's time.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
No point in wasting each other's time. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in and sticking around for this episode with the homie Young Student Loans. I had so much fun getting into your album. Thank you for coming through. Say your piece.
Right.
What do you have to say?
Young Student Loans here. Thank you for tuning in to Sipping After Dark. Thank you, Ashley, for inviting me back for our fourth time together. Thank you, April, for being on the ones and cues, making sure that we get through our views. Anyway, album out right now, King of the Low Key, the Emo Space Odyssey, Story Mode, Deluxe Edition coming in December. When in December? We don't know. Either way, though, Sipping After Dark still has other episodes coming out after us, so you better support the fam and come have some fun.
Thank you, thank you. Yes, many, many episodes of Sipping After Dark to check out. Three other episodes with you if you fuck with him and you fuck our back and forth. If you fuck our back and forth. If you fuck with our back and forth. Go check those out. Yeah, this is the 7th episode. We're like halfway through the season, almost, basically. Shout out to Wild 7 Studios for hosting Sipping After Dark always. Go to, if you want to see full episodes, older episodes, like full video, go to YouTube on Wild 7 Studios YouTube channel. Check those out. And hit me up on Instagram, Sipping After Dark, TikTok, Twitter. Let me know what you want me to talk about. And you can follow me, Ash_Friday_. Where can the people follow you?
Oh, yeah, you can find me at, like, Young Student Loans on Instagram. Young Student Loan on Twitter with a V instead of a U. Young Student Loans on the Spotify's, the Apple Music, the, all that other stuff. Not on OnlyFans, but keep searching, though.
Coming soon? We'll see. We'll see.
We're gonna see.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.